Just a little summary of the last few messages. When Jesus blotted out our sins, nailing them to the cross, Satan and his demons lost their right to place their curses on us. We all know that you open the door to the devil by sin, right? And so when we got sin in our lives and it's blotted out, what happens to the curse? And we need to sometimes just to think. Satan and his demons lost their right to place their curses on us because the thing that gave them a right to us is sin, and it's gone. How many know your sins are blotted out? If there's not, you're on your way to a lake of fire, so you need to make sure they're blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ right here, right now. Satan and his demons lost their right to place their curses on us because we've been redeemed from sin and his curses. Therefore, we are now the property of God, and the devil no longer has a right to touch the property of God. Is that hard to understand? But guess what Jesus said? He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care if he has a right or not. He's going to come to steal anyway. And that's why Jesus said, I give you authority. Does this not start making sense? When you begin to see this, how sin opens the door and how Jesus' blood blots out the sin, you begin to see, hey, I really can take authority over the devil and his curses because I am the property of God. And here's the verse. I talk about it a lot, but it's 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And you know that's where the living God lives, is in you. Not in this building. Oh, he's here. He's here before we get here because he's excited about us coming. He anticipates us coming. But his dwelling place really is in you. If he dwells in you, is it hard to believe that he could take care of you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Quit acting like you can do what you want to do. You can only do what he wants you to do if you want to be successful. You can do anything you want to do, but you're going to wind up regretting it. And how would I know that? Because I've tried it. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. We're bought and paid for by blood. And you're going to tell me the devil still has a right to destroy my body? This is the temple of God. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say God's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Actually, the lion is the lion of Judah, and he's here to heal us and restore us and cause us to be healthy and well and anointed to be a witness. We are bought and paid for by blood. We are the property of God. Satan has no right to touch the property of God. And that's what I tell him when he tries to put strep on me. I said, no, devil, you're not putting that on me. I've got to preach. God called me to preach. Amen. And you can say what you want to say, but until I started doing that, man, I had a hard time with strep. And I didn't get any of this from some book I read by some preacher. I've been accused of that. Well, you got that from those faith preachers. No, I did not. I got it straight from the Bible. I was too stubborn to believe anybody else. Like some of you, okay. I'm not believing nothing until I know God has spoken it to my heart. Can you say amen? We're bought and paid for by blood, and we are the property of God. Satan has no legal right to touch me. Jesus redeemed me from the old slave master. I used to serve him, but I don't serve you, devil, anymore. And you get out of my face. You get away from me. You take your negative thoughts. Quit telling me how worthless I am and get out. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that's always telling you how dumb you are and how ugly you are and how unpopular you are and how that all these bad things are going to go wrong. He's always predicting bad things for your future. It's time you just said, look, I have authority over you. Now get out. Amen. I know some of you think that's crazy, but those same people are depressed, sitting in doctor's office, psychiatrist's office all the time. If you want to be like them, believe like them. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:2, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The word apostle is not mentioned there. It said it's the believer. In other words, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you listen to all these sermons I've been preaching, but just listen to the word, the scripture I've been giving. I give you a big percentage of the scriptures in the Bible about healing in these five sermons. I got one more. At some point, I'm going to tell you about Job. Poor Job. Poor Job. I'm just like Job. Some people say Job. I'm just like Job. Well, when God gave me this revelation, I went back and studied Job, and I found out some things. And you need to know them. Job was my biggest excuse not to believe God for healing. And I found out some things. Jesus said in John 14, you know, we need to just start believing what Jesus said. He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. That means you. Believers can still do the works of Christ. Mark 16:20 says that Jesus Christ worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord has confirmed this sermon many times, or sermons like this, on healing by healing many people, and healing me, and healing Dottie, and healing our family members. You see, the New Testament church, not just the 12 apostles, continued to preach the truth of God's word with great signs and wonders. Signs and wonders, really do confirm God's word. Acts 4:29, Jesus even said, if you can't believe me for any other reason, believe me for the works. We need to have we live in one of the darkest, most demonized generation this world has ever seen. They need to see the miracle power of God, just like you need to see it. Acts 4:29, we can pray the prayer that the 12 apostles prayed. Look what they prayed for. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Why speak the word? Because it produces faith. Verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, servant Jesus. And they actually were praying for signs and wonders and miracles. What did they pray for? Signs and wonders and miracles and healing. To confirm the word. You see, they knew they were to continue the works that Jesus did. So they prayed for them and they got them. What if we just all really started praying that God would stretch forth his mighty hand in these services every Sunday morning and perform his healing miracles and signs and wonders right here in this place every Sunday morning? Do you think maybe we could handle that? And I believe the word would get out and people start getting saved and born again, just like it happened with them. But the world needs to see signs and wonders, and it doesn't need to be fakey stuff. I know there's some preachers that faked it and put on a show, but this preacher doesn't have the ability to fake anything. I'm not an actor. Can you say amen? By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name. What name? Jesus Christ. Be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They knew they were to be continue to do these miracles, so they prayed for them. Why don't we pray for them more than we do? And not just for our benefit. I know I'm healthy and well and healed, and somebody said I look perfect. don't take that to the bank. But I'm not trying to get myself healed. Even though going through the scriptures really boosts my faith. To stay healed and stay stand against the devil when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But my goal is to help you not only get healed, but get your family members healed. There's a lady come up to me last Sunday after church. Keep forgetting her name. She's been here a while. And anyway, she came up and she said, 2 weeks ago I came up and asked prayer. I think it was a cousin, says she has terminal cancer, and we agreed together in prayer, and I want you to know God totally healed her. Amen. God is still working his miracles. Acts, and some preachers, well, oh God, why does God work more miracles if he still works? Because you tell everybody it's not God's will. That's why. How are they going to believe in miracles when you're telling them it's not God's will? And I can't throw many rocks because I used to do the same thing until God confronted me face to face. You know? After a while, God gets tired of my foolishness and he confronts me head on. Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done. Why? Because they asked for them. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done. God's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. You need to want to do it. You need to want to see the miracles of God performed through your prayers. And it really is all about prayer. Healing is just God answering prayer. Acts 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. You see, their prayers were answered. God began to move mighty in their midst. Acts 14:3, Paul and Barnabas, look at this, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting them signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You see, God was granting Paul and Barnabas the grace, the power to work great signs and wonders and miracles and see people healed, being done by their hands to bear witness to the word. So God has always used signs and wonders and miracles, including miracle healings and miracle deliverance and restoration, to confirm his word. Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. They were not of the 12 apostles. They were granted signs and wonders anyway. So, well, it was those 12. Paul and Barnabas were not part of the 12. Now, I know people come up with all these theories and things. Truth is, they were not part of the 12. And the 70 Jesus sent out, they were healing miracles and cast out demons and devils and everything else. And it's hard to get 70 inside of 12. So it wasn't just the 12. And then, well, last week or week before last, I read the story about the man that was working miracles in the name of Jesus. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, we told that guy to stop it. And said, because he's not with us. And Jesus said, well, leave him alone. He can't work a miracle in my name and easily speak evil of me. Leave him alone. And he wasn't an apostle. They didn't even know who he was. And he was working miracles in the name of Jesus. Oh, just those apostles. Read the Bible. And I'm not trying to debate anything, but I want you to see the truth. And believe me, I didn't get this from some preacher. Well, I did, but his name is Jesus. And I did get it from a book, the Holy Bible. Romans, people say the Bible's not relevant. If you did a miracle, it's relevant. Romans 15:19, St. Paul said, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He said, I have preached the gospel in signs and wonders that happen all over the place. And modern preachers can't say that, so the only thing they know to do is just get rid of the miracles where they passed away. Well, they passed away in their life because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The average preacher doesn't pray 5 minutes a day, 5, 6, 7 minutes a day. How in the world are you supposed to really have a relationship with the Lord, communicate with him and hear from him in 5 minutes a day, with all 5 or 7 minutes a day with all the turmoil around us? It takes me sometimes an hour just to break through all the devil's opposition. And because you start praying, man, he comes with everything you can think of, try to keep you from hearing from God. I got up in the middle of the night last night. I think it was about 4 o'clock. And I just woke up, devil wakes me up, and that's his problem because I'm going to pray an hour. I was really fighting demons and devils in my prayer time this morning. And man, I hadn't really planned to pray all that long, but I said, I'm not giving it. You foul devil, I'm winning. I prayed, thought I won. Got peace, got victory over that thing, whatever it was. Can you say amen? That's the way it works. Most preachers don't do that. I didn't used to do that. You say, well, why do you pray so much? That's the reason. Besides that, it's fun. Does God still want to confirm the word with signs and signs and wonders. Does he still want to confirm his word with healing and deliverance and restoration? Yes, but more than that, he is moved with compassion. And he cares about your suffering and your pain. He wants to help you. That's the bottom line. For God so loved the world that he gave. Hebrews 2:3. Let's speed this wagon up a little bit. Hebrews 2:3. This is early church believers. Just note these scriptures. Take notes. And if you miss them, you can look them up later. You can replay these sermons. And YouTube. They have broken my sermons up into shorter sermons on YouTube. They really are pretty good. Staff and him has done a great job. And I think Jesse still helps on some of that stuff. Jesse, I still call her Jesse Jenkins. She's got another name. but they work together on this stuff. And I heard one the other day, and the way they had it edited, I mean, it was really good. It's my voice, but it still was good. Now, Hebrews 2:3, this is the early church believers. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed. You see, God also goes on to say God was bearing witness both with signs and wonders. There it is again, signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. If we're not preaching the word with signs and wonders, we're not in the will of God. God still wants to bear witness with signs and wonders and miracles, but he needs a few believers. Can I have a few volunteers here today that will be believers? Yay. I don't see a single one who will be a believer. Let's believe the word of God and believe God to use us to work signs and wonders. You say, how would I do that? You start with prayer. You pray it through in prayer first. Amen. You don't just go out and start working miracles. You pray it and you get it in here and then you follow and obey the Lord. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. I don't believe Jesus went around making up stuff. I believe he means what he says. There was a cripple. Look at this. This really shows you how it works, I think. There was a crippled man at the gate called Beautiful, who was looking to Peter and John for a financial gift. And that's in Acts chapter 3, verse 3. This is a New King James Version. Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was about to receive something from them, but he wasn't expecting what he was going to get. This man had no expectation of healing, but Peter was given a gift of faith. A no-so. How did Peter know he was a candidate to be healed? You have to know that in your spirit. Amen. Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and only picked out one out of all the sick people. And if you stay tuned to God, he can show you people that need prayer. Even the airport, wherever you are. And it takes a little boldness, but you need to use a little wisdom too. Never just start praying for somebody unless God just tells you to, ask permissions. It would be okay if I pray for you. Verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How in the world did he do that? Peter had a substance, an evidence that God was going to heal this man in the name of Jesus. And very often I've had that same thing. And when you get it, act on it. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Sometimes I ask people, do you believe God heals? Yes, well then do something. Well, that's what he was doing here. He was encouraging this guy to put forth some effort. And when he put forth the effort to stand up, he was healed. Look at this. Just showing you what it says. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. As soon as he made an effort to walk, God strengthened him and enabled him to walk. It's hard to argue with this. This is in the Bible. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You see, Peter had a notice of revelation that God was healing this man. Then the scriptures says in verse 8, so he, the crippled man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Probably Jesus Christ had walked by him many times, but now Jesus was gone and Peter was being led by the Holy Spirit. And no doubt Jesus said to Peter, this is his time. Heal him. And he touched him, and the Holy Spirit does the healing. Don't get confused here. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that does the work. He can use us, but there are no faith healers. There's only one healer, and his name is Jesus, but he can use people. And he wants to use people. He has chosen to use people. That's why I'm preaching today instead of Jesus. He's chosen me to do it here instead of himself. When Peter spoke, but yet hopefully he is speaking through me. When Peter spoke this word of faith, the Holy Spirit produced faith in this man, and he responded, and when he responded, he walked. Faith without action is dead. Well, you don't have to do anything. Who made you God? The Word of God says faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. If you really believe it, it takes a little action. I believe I can come out here and preach no matter what the devil's doing. That's why I'm out here preaching. Acts 3:13, look at this. And this, Peter explains it, I think the best you possibly can. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. This man, and this name, Jesus Christ, through faith in his name, rather, his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, this faith that comes through him, through Jesus, has given him the perfect soundness, wholeness, in the presence of y'all. Notice it says the faith who comes through him. Faith comes from God. He drops it in your heart. And God dropped this faith in Peter's heart. He dropped it in that crippled man's heart, and the crippled man walked. Quit trying to do things yourself and trust God to do it. Faith comes from the Lord, comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't work up faith. Well, just believe God. You can't. Faith is the anointing on God's word. When that word quickens you, it can be a personal word from the Lord. But when that word goes in you and quickens you, you claim it and you know that you're healed. And this word on healing, Matthew 8:16-17, came off the pages of the Bible, went in here, and I believe it with all my heart. And I believe it is for everybody, not just me. And it says Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that when he came, that he'd take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And he said, do you believe I'm still here? I said, yes. He said, do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? First of all, he said, do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? What does it say? Truly have borne our sickness and care. I'm not going to stand here and debate, well, that's in the atonement. It's not in the atonement. Who cares? It's a promise. A promise to me and anybody else who will believe it. Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. That word Rapha does not mean spiritual. It means to be made whole. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. It just pays to have a preacher that studies. And knows what he's talking about. And notice, there's a whole deal right there. And I heard a guy the other day, he left the first part completely off. It says, truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He just dismissed that like it was nothing. It's a part of that passage. Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for iniquities. You see, you have the curses right there, and you have the redemption right there. And with his stripes we're healed. Everything I'm preaching is right there. Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. If that's not true, the rest of it's not true. If the Lord tell one lie, he'll tell two. Now let's be honest here. Let's get with it. Truly have borne our sickness. I'm tired of people playing games with the Word of God. And that's what they're doing. Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities will send you to hell. If they're not blotted out, you got a big problem. But if they're blotted out, what about the curse? What about the sickness and disease? And with his stripes, notice it's before, and the removal of the curse is before and after the redemptive part. Truth born of sickness and carried away of pains. And then it says, with his stripes, we are made whole emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. And Peter, referring back to that, said, with his stripes, you were healed. Thank you, Jesus. And this message, I have discovered, has been down through the ages. Same thing I'm preaching. And I found three books from that 19th century of preachers preaching this exact same thing. And they weren't Pentecostal, they weren't charismatic, they weren't full gospel. They just believed the word of God, and they had even these healing homes, and they had tons of people getting healed all over the place just preaching the same verses I preached right here in the 19th century. It just pays to do a little work and study. I'm waiting for amen. Amen. This says the faith that comes through him. Yes, the faith, Jesus help me. Yes, that clock. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness. My healing has come through the faith that he dropped in my heart. The faith which comes through him, the faith which comes through him and his word has healed me of strep throat, healed me of real bad sprained ankles, healed me of rosacea, healed me of back problems, healed me of all kind of things, but the faith comes through him. Yes. You pray and you get a revelation, know so inside of you, and that's faith. Okay. I'm healed. You see, this says the faith that comes through him or by him. Our faith is a result of the Holy Spirit and God's word working in our hearts. Am I making this clear? I'm trying hard. I know, because this is the way the Holy Spirit uses me. God has used me the same way he did Peter here. God gave me a no-so revelation that Nancy Jenkins Ziegler's leg was going to grow out. She was Nancy Jenkins then. Her leg was crushed in a bad accident. And when it healed, it was about an inch and a half shorter than the other one. And the anointing of God came on me, and I knew in my spirit that God was going to grow that leg out. I got up and told the whole church without thinking. I said, God's going to grow that leg out. And the devil says, you are a nut. That leg's not going to grow out. And everybody in the church is going to know you're a false prophet. But I knew I'd heard from God, so I just got up and broadcast it, kind of like Peter. She's healed. Because it's here. And it was almost a year to the day. It's a Sunday night service. I heard the Lord say, tonight's the night. Almost a year later. She had that accident, I think, in 2004. This is 2005. I think it's in November. This is November the 6th, if I remember correctly. And God said, this is the night. I called her up. She came up. You could tell she had a real bad limp because her leg was short. And she came up front. And I said, sit in this chair. Set her in the chair. And I put her hands at my feet. And Stan Watkins come running up. You're not going to pull anything on him. He's going to see for himself. Is that right, Stan? Okay, and Chuck Lester came running up. Is anybody else here that came running up and saw it? There was several. There's two others. John Ucha. Now, you may not believe in the rest of us, but you'll believe John Ucha. And I think Rosie had her hand up. This was a miracle we saw. I put her feet in my hand, and you said, well, you must be a mighty man of God. Hey, God just told me what to do. I'm just a bald-headed country boy. But when God drops faith in my heart, I'm dumb enough to act on it. And some people say smart enough, but whatever. And I put her, we sit her in a chair, and she put her heel, her feet in my hands like that. And you could see, I think it was the right leg, I believe, I don't remember for sure. It was about that much shorter, about an inch. Can y'all see? You got a good enough light? Okay, it's about an inch and a half. And I didn't even have time to pray. I said, in the name of Jesus. And it just went. And Nancy didn't even know what happened. She didn't have any faith for it at all. It was totally what God had dropped in my heart. And when I said, well, it grew out. She said, what? Then she got excited. She started walking around and the limp was gone. She walked smooth as smooth could be. And that's been a long time ago. 2005. She's still going. God still works miracles if we'll believe him. Well, what about the ones who don't get healed? That's not my problem. Like I told you the other day, I got a few things that haven't been healed myself. I'm not going to sit around and worry about the things that don't get healed. I'm going to focus on his word until I get more things healed. You will never get a miracle by questioning God. Just don't bother. Leave it alone. Oh, there's things I don't understand, but I know one thing. I don't give up. Yeah, I'm praying for people in this church, had issues for years. I'm still praying, day and night. God, heal them, God, heal them, God, heal them. And you say, well, if they had more faith, it may be me. The 12 apostles, remember? Well, it wasn't all of them, but they tried to cast a demon out of that little boy, and Jesus said, because you didn't have any faith. Maybe my faith is not where it needs to be. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just going to keep working these scriptures. How about you? Not going to cost anything. Not going to hinder it. Not going to hurt anything. At least we got one leg growed out. You see, it was not just the apostles who were doing the works of Christ. Y'all want to see a miracle? See if I get through the rest of these notes. That'd be a miracle. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken. Y'all pay attention. Now don't go to sleep. And don't sit out there and debate with me because you're going to lose. Just pay attention. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And you might be thinking, well, I've heard this before. Yeah, are you getting healed? Are you getting other people healed? If not, you need to hear it again and again and again. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Lame were healed, just like Nancy was healed. Philip was only a deacon, but he was doing the works that Jesus did. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, this is Stephen. Full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. This guy was just another deacon. If God can use Stephen and Philip, two deacons, and signs and wonders, he can use you and me. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, does this say apostle? No, it says elders. Who's the elders? They're pastors. The New Testament church, they didn't have a big building. They just met in homes. And so each home had a pastor. It's a small group, basically. And each pastor of the small group was called an elder. And he said, if you anyone who's sick, let him call for the pastors and pray. And those are available, and let them pray over him. And look what he says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not this prayer, God, thy will be done, if you want this cancer to eat your head off. That's not what it says, the prayer of faith, that they're going to be healed. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Does it say apostles shall save the sick? Or does it say the prayer of faith shall save the sick? If the apostles pray a prayer of faith, yes. But if they don't, like that little boy that wasn't delivered and healed, they won't even work for the apostles if they don't have any faith. He will do forgiveness and healing at the same time as with the paralytic. You see that? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Look, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. They go together. Sin, disobedience, sickness. Isn't that something? It's a pattern. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you so much you can't doubt it. Thank you, Jesus. See, the promise is that the prayer of faith shall save the sick and their sins will be forgiven. The early church believed sin and sickness are covered by redemption. They expected them to go together. If the sin goes, sickness can go. Now, it's not automatic. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to know your authority and take authority over him and know that curse has no right to be there and drive that thing out in the name of Jesus. And you can't always be looking for some preacher to do it for you. You got to do it, learn to do it for yourself. Because the devil is real. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour by sickness, disease, cancer, sin, anything he can. But remember, the prayer of faith is required. Somehow you got to get that faith up. Acts 19:11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. You see, this clearly means that all who received his handkerchief or apron or got to touch one of them were healed or made whole. It wasn't Paul healing them. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the handkers and the apron. It's never the man. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, we all can be anointed to pray the prayer of faith. These are signs and wonders that followed the preaching of the word. It's not necessarily following the man, it's following the preaching of the word. Acts 28:8. God continued to use Paul to work extraordinary miracles. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery, and this is when he was on his way to be tried before Caesar. And they had a shipwreck and they landed on this island. And it says, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick, that was the governor of that island, with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And I just imagine he preached a little sermon about how Jesus Christ was a healer before he did it, before he prayed for him. You see, we can be instruments of God just like Paul was. Verse 9, and when this had taken place, the rest. How many is rest? The rest. All of them. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. You see, this is another case where all were healed after Christ had ascended. Paul is the one who said in Galatians 3:13 that we preached about last week, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that's what he means. The curse of sickness, disease, failure, poverty, all these things, we've been redeemed from those things if we'll believe it and take authority over them. Just like he was taking authority over the sickness on these people on this island. Paul, like Peter, believed that Jesus redeemed us from sin and his curse. This is why they believed for healing of sickness and disease. People say, well, when the apostles died, that was the end of it. Those people do not know the truth. They do not know history. Irenaeus was a great preacher after the apostles died. He wasn't even born until 125 A.D. That was long after all the apostles were dead. Here's what he writes. Wherefore also, those who are in truth, his disciples, receiving grace from him, do in his name perform miracles so as to promote the welfare of other men. It's not done to glorify a preacher, but for the welfare of other men according to the gift which each one has received from him. For some do certainly and truly drive out devils, so that those who have thus been cleansed from evil spirits frequently both believe in Christ. And you can Google this, by the way. In the Apostolic Fathers, I just looked it up this week again to be sure I had it right. And you can read it for yourself. This guy's Irenaeus. I may have to help you with the spelling. It's kind of different. For some do certainly and truly drive out devils, so that those who have thus been cleansed from evil spirits frequently both believe in Christ and join themselves to the church. Others have foreknowledge of things to come. They see visions and utter prophetic expressions. Others still heal the sick by laying their hands upon them, and they are made whole. apostles have been dead for a long time. The Holy Spirit didn't die when they died. The Word of God didn't die when they died. Yes, moreover, as I have said, the dead even have been raised up and remained among us for many years. If there was one healing after the apostles died, healing is for today. Healing did not die with the apostles. It is the believer that does the works Jesus did. The apostles became believers after they could not cast the demon out of that little demoniac, that little boy that was then possessed. Then they became believers. Irenaeus, again, in another portion of that book, says, "The name of our Lord Jesus Christ even now confers benefits upon men and cures thoroughly and effectively all who anywhere believe on him." The apostles were all dead when Irenaeus was born, but the believers still had authority to cast out demons, look, and heal the sick. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ even now confirms benefits upon men and cures thoroughly and effectively all. He said, in our churches, we all get healed. Don't that blow your mind? But that's what Jesus did. He healed all that came to him. The New Testament church, it says plainly, they brought sick people from all around Jerusalem, and all of them were healed.